It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of August. Donovan Mitchell, superhuman. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic match that. What can we learn from game one? What do we discover on the deep dive? And what is coming for game two? It's all on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. I just finished re-watching the fourth quarter of the game. We'll have some breakdowns for you on that. I gotta just, like, sucks to lose. Massively important that we lost. Like, in the big scheme of how the season will end and what will be remembered, probably just incredibly impactful, right? Like, if we can win one of the two, and then I don't know if Mike got back into the bubble last night or if he's getting in today, and then you're trying to win three out of five when Mike's back in the lineup, if you can get him back by game three, or you're trying to win three out of four with him back in the lineup for game four, you feel like you've got a shot. So you've got to try to grab one of these two, and there's no reason we can't, but to have one that close, certainly to not have that to lose that game is painful. It's a massively important in the realm of the playoff run. And the chances of winning the series, a series we clearly proved we could win. I would say in all my prep, the more I prepped, the more I felt good about things. And it took, you know, Donovan was superhuman, but so were the Nuggets. And Jamal Murray was amazing. And some of the Nuggets shot chart stuff is out of this world. We'll dig into that and show you that today. But the bigger picture, I mean, what a game. Holy smokes, re-watching that fourth quarter, Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray going to work. Great coaching, frankly. I mean, Mike Malone just does, they do what they do. They didn't get confused. They ran the same play 10 straight times to close the game. Like, from 4:30 on, they don't run anything else. And you know what? We didn't run anything else. We went Donovan Mitchell against whomever we could find that we wanted the matchup with off a Rudy Gobert pick. And guess what? If you look into the data, if you go into the final 5 minutes of a close game this year and you put the ball screen at the top of the floor and you look who, and you set the filter at 100 picks, you only got two guys. You got Nikola Jokic and Rudy Gobert. You add overtime in the fourth quarters. You add overtime, you get Steven Adams and Domantas Sabonis. Like, this is what these guys do. These, you know, and the best in the league at it. Jokic, if you set the filter like 65, 70 picks, I mean, it only leaves like the top 10 guys in the league of setting those picks. Guess who number one is in the league? Jokic. Interestingly, number two is Bojan Bogdanovic. I'll get into that in a second. The Jazz have had to adjust out of their primary closing play of the year. And who's number three? Rudy Gobert. It's the third best. He and Steven Adams are like virtually tied. Like, that's... These guys, these coaches did what they did. They made their, and now you got to see if somebody can bust it up and adjust. But it was pretty incredible. Donovan was amazing. 57 points for Donovan. And he started the day 1 for 5. Just to open the game, he started 1 for 5. And then Craig goes out of the game, and we've talked so much about Craig's ability to guard Donovan. Frankly, Craig was fine yesterday. But in a playoff series, guess what? You just don't let it happen. According to NBA stats, Donovan Mitchell was 1 for 5 when guarded by Torrey Craig for over 13 possessions. Now, he also picked up 8 free throw attempts and got 3 shooting fouls and 5 fouls drawn overall. So, you know, he had 10 points in that. It wasn't as though Craig slowed him down. He went and got Craig pretty good also. But when guarded by Nikola Jokic, because the Jazz got a switch, Donovan was 6 of 8. When guarded by Jeremy Grant, he was 6 of 12 with 3 three-pointers. When he got Monte Morris on a switch, he was 3 for 3. When he got Jamal Murray on a switch, he was 2 for 2. When he got Michael Porter Jr. on a switch, he was 1 for 2. What the Jazz were able to do is run Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, guard-to-guard pick-and-rolls to get Torrey Craig off of Donovan Mitchell and let him go to work. It's a great game plan. And in fact, if you dig into what the Jazz have been most successful with all season long, you will see a lot of guard-to-guard pick and roll. What that guard-to-guard pick and roll does for the Jazz is gets Donovan the matchup they want, and the Jazz have a huge amount of success with it. It was the Jazz number one play this year, late in games, was Donovan Mitchell off of Bojan Bogdanović pick. And that's gone. So Quinn's had to adjust and find the new matchups of what we're going to do. But this is where the Jazz and frankly Quinn's so creative. Because you just are not going to be able to put Torrey Craig guarding Donovan Mitchell. This year when Donovan went off a boy, he went off a Bojan pick 234 times. He had a 1.13 points per pick and roll. That's huge. He went off Ingles 177 times for 1.04. He went off Royce 142 times for 1.01. And he went off Clarkson. It wasn't nearly as efficient, but it was here. Why is that? Because the Jazz were finding the matchup they want. They went after Murray. They went after Morris. They went after Porter. They went after whomever they could get. Torrey Craig's their defensive player. This is going to be real for the rest of the series. Denver's going to have to find ways to avoid giving up that switch. And the times where they tried to give up the switch is when Torrey Craig picked up fouls more often than not. Donovan came downhill on him on the play late. But otherwise, Craig picks up two or three of his fouls when he's coming around the pick, trying to get through the pick to not switch. Donovan's special, right? He wears 45 because it was Michael Jordan's baseball number, and he's now the last guy since Michael Jordan at this age to drop 50 in a playoff game. Third highest scoring playoff game of all time. His late game free throw shooting is out of this world. He's incredible. I'm almost nervous to bring up the late game free throw shooting. Because I actually will admit that on the air, I didn't mention it yesterday. He's 43 of 53 for the season in the clutch. However, you take this down to the final 2 minutes of a three-point game, he's 18 of 19. 18 of 19 for the season in the final 2 minutes of a game within one possession. And then yesterday, he obviously was even better. He was 4 of 4. So he's 22 of 23 in the final 2 minutes of a game. It's pretty incredible. The kid is just money. Last year, he was 10 of 14. It's just gotten better. These are the steps. He's coming off a bad playoff against Houston last year. This was his bounce back. Pretty great. The 8-second call was brutal. 146 left up by four. I think most people know this by now. I apologize. There was no way for us to know this on the radio broadcast. It's how, because we're not there, there's no way for us to see this. But because Gobert grabbed the rebound on the play before off the miss, and then Jokic knocked it out of his hands and the ball bounced inbounds before going out of bounds, 2 seconds had run off the clock. So Donovan's walking up on his internal timer. All players have that internal timer, thinking that they're going to, that he's got 8 seconds when he only had 6 and he doesn't get across. Some interesting things about the bubble on this play, and it, you know, may have decided the game. One, the assistant coaches are now in the second and third row. They're the equivalent of like 8 rows back from the floor because they're so socially distanced and they're wearing masks. So if one of them had seen it and tried to yell, not sure that Donovan actually hears it. Next one is, because they're socially distanced, Quinn Snyder, if he's talking to anybody on the bench, he's got to go away to go talk to them rather than where he would regularly. Again, not sure if he saw it or they saw it, but would have been hard to get there. And the last is, no crowd. Had that happened at Vivint Arena, somebody in the crowd reacts. And that opens it up. Crazy how many different things were going on in that play to have that happen in the way that it did. But if that happens at home in the playoffs, there's a buzz in the arena and someone notices. I also don't know if the shot clocks are different in the building. I would guess they're the exact same. But overall, Donovan was brilliant. Great strategy by the Jazz to get the matchups. He went after the guys. They got him. Torrey Craig is still a great defender. They got him off that matchup. He took advantage. Great credit He's unbelievable late in games right now. And the Jazz got the matchups they wanted. And, you know, frankly, once he got rolling, Jeremy Grant going under those two picks, that was probably all that they needed. The other, you know, one aspect of this is when you start to, when Denver starts to screw around with these pick and rolls and you're trying to figure out, like, how, you know, who's defending and doing all this, you have Jeremy Grant, who only defended 418 pick and rolls all season long. He's the sixth most common at guarding a pick and roll. He's not actually, his defensive rating is actually worse than any other Denver Nugget for the season trying to guard a pick and roll against Donovan Mitchell just because he's long, because you're hiding Jamal Murray, because you don't have Gary Harris, because Torrey Craig's in foul trouble. Like, it's a real problem for the Nuggets going forward in the series. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street in Murray, also in Logan and in Linden. I'm driving the Sonata right now. It's just so fun. Such a great car. As I said, I like turning it back in. Actually, I've talked to Blake about getting this another Sonata back. It's a sedan. It's got every bell, every whistle, drives great, self-drives itself, basically drives down the canyon all by itself, even on the wavy road, on the curvy roads, staying inside of the lanes. It's got great space, two sets of golf clubs, two push carts, no problem. Just absolutely love the Sonata. The Kona is the zippy small SUV, the Tucson, the Santa Fe, and the big Palisade is just terrific. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. If you're going to buy a car, take a second and at least look at what you can get for your money from Hyundai. And if you do so, email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. We'd love to set you up. Between the never-ending laundry cycles, incoming emails, all the other things that are going on, it's time to let DoorDash take care of your next meal for you. You want Chinese? You want pizza? You got craving for something? DoorDash will take care of it. Continuing to supporting restaurants in your local community, there are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash, and they need your patronage now more than ever. Support your favorite restaurants through DoorDash. You counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. Our listeners are getting $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter LockedOnNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store. Enter code LockedOnNBA. So, with over 300,000 partners across the world, you can support the local restaurants from Chipotle to or the national favorites like Chipotle, Wendy's, or the Cheesecake Factory. Whatever it is you might need, DoorDash has got it for you. So go get the app, and for $5 off your first order, enter in Locked On NBA. Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Okay, like, this wasn't a big surprise. When you look at, this is what they do. And they did it brilliantly. And they were unstoppable. And for those who are Twitter fear out there, Quinn Snyder, Royce O'Neal got torched too. Like, I got the argument that somehow Royce O'Neal should have been on for Joe Ingles, but I don't have a lot of backing to it because Royce O'Neal was on twice in the final 5 minutes and he got torched. Same way Joe did. You know why? Because Jamal Murray was cooking and it was awesome. Jamal Murray, here's the interesting things. Final 10 plays of regulation. Not even going into the overtime. Final 10 plays of regulation. They ran the exact same play every single time. Middle of the floor. High pick and roll Murray and Jokic. Or Jokic and Murray handoff, whatever it was. 7 of the 10 times he came left baseline to the right side. He's coming left to right almost every single time. The few times he came right to left. He came right to left. Drove into the lane off O'Neal, stepped through and scored an easy about 7-footer. He came right to left after the time, after the 8-second violation because the ball inbounded on the right side. Again, guarded by O'Neal, cooked him, spun him around like a top for a pullback 3-pointer going right to left. And then the last time he went right to left, he went into the lane and he missed a shot. He got caught. He went left to right. The Jazz defender came back right to left. And missed the shot in the paint, and then that's where Jokic got the offensive rebound. So Murray's coming left to right as much as he can off Jokic. And then once he gets there, Jokic has popped, So you're throwing back to Jokic. Rudy's now pretty far out. Jazz did a great job dealing with this. I thought Rudy, you know, Jokic is amazing. I was super impressed by Jokic because of the fact that Rudy, I thought, gave him a really tough time. And he's just kept assertively going at the basket, powering to the rim. You just don't. Most of the guys wilt, right? Anthony Davis wilts all the time on that and just stops going to the basket. Once Rudy stops a guy once or twice or three times going to the basket or alters them, you just don't see them try it again. And frankly, to the credit of Jokic, he just kept coming. But he can't, you know, if you walk through the final 4:30 with Murray, left to right off Jokic for a pick and pop, Jokic hits the three. 4:02 left. Left to right off Jokic, pick and roll. This time Jokic rolls and he lays it in. Rudy defended it pretty well. 3:18 left. Murray comes right to left off Jokic. Murray gets into the lane, scores. That's O'Neal guarding. 2:43 left. Jokic handoff this time coming left to right. And the Jazz defend this really well. Ingles comes over and cuts it off. They go back to Jokic. O'Neal switches out on him. The Jazz then double Jokic with Clarkson. They rotate it over to Torrey Craig with Rudy playing kind of in the middle. There's an interesting thought I had while watching this play. Is there any reason why you actually don't guard Jokic with Rudy? And you actually then just play a pure switch, which is what the Jazz ended up in with O'Neal then guarding Jokic. Clarkson came and doubled, and Rudy just patrolled the middle, and it forced Torrey Craig into a three. Like, if they're going to have to play Torrey Craig because Donovan Mitchell is torching everybody else, then make Torrey Craig shoot. And if Torrey Craig beats us from three, then Torrey Craig beats us from three. But Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic is as good a two-man game as there is in the NBA, the most, one of the most common, at least at the top of the, you know, straight, like in that setting. Let's see if something else can beat us. If Michael Porter Jr. is going to be played off the floor because he can't play defensively, they're lacking shooting. Monty Morris was mammoth in this game because he's a really good shooter and they had to have him. Murray comes left to right on the next one. Pick and pop. Jokic goes one-on-one. Great defense by the Jazz, and they get a by Rudy, and they get the stop. 1:46 left. This is right after the 8-second violation. Murray comes right to left, spins O'Neal around, pulls up, and hits it. 1:20 left. Murray comes left to right off Jokic into a three with a step back that just creates incredible separation from Ingles. 1:08 left. Murray comes left to right again. Pull up again, just amazing separation from Ingles. And Ingles' strength is his length. And Murray was just able to just drive at him and pull back. The one thing on that drive at him, I don't know how much Murray's ever going to the basket. I'd like to know how much Murray's ever actually going to the rim in that circumstance. I'm sure I can probably try to figure it out. But it feels to me like Jamal Murray is not going to the basket in these circumstances. And that, you know, if we start to dig in, if I dig in a little bit, which I'll try to do for tomorrow, and see whether or not in the clutch of games he's actually shooting anything at the rim, I'd be interested to know. Because it doesn't feel to me like he ever intended to go to the basket. In fact, I've got his clutch shot chart coming up here in just a second for the season, and we'll look at it and see whether or not it tells us anything. And then the final one, he goes left to right. The Jazz defend it really well. He comes back right to left. I mean, that's what's so difficult, is even when you defend it well, they're going to flip it back the other way and see what happens. And to their, you know, to their credit, they know how to play these things. Those two guys have just got incredible camaraderie to them, and they brought it, and the Jazz defended that well. So, you know, we've got to find a way to get the ball out of their hands, but triple-teaming, bringing a third guy to that play is awfully difficult to do. I wonder whether you can play it as just a flat switch. That's the thought I had while watching. That was, you know, frankly, we accidentally got it got into that, and it worked very, very well. And so, you know, we'll see whether or not there's something to that. I will have to go watch all of Jamal Murray's, see how many it is. 38 shots in the clutch this year. That's not that many. He was only shooting, that's only if they're ahead or behind. 71 shots in the clutch this year. I will go watch of Jamal Murray for tomorrow's show to tell you what we have to do to try to defend it and what the trends are on those 71 shots. All right, bunch of other news and notes for you. Today's show is brought to you by The Store. Such good people. It was so great to be out there on Friday with the crew. Had a wonderful time. The absolutely awesome wood-fired pizza they had going over the weekend was just amazing. Gosh, Scotty's is just doing an amazing job with it. Had a super time with Jeff battling the Royale cookie versus the mudslide. We all know what's better. Let Jeff believe what he wants to believe. It's good for him. Wonderful people. I just love Jeff and his wife are such good people, and just love being affiliated with The Store because they are what we all stand for. They're good people, wanting to do good things, running a business, trying to serve their customers the best they can. Located 6200 South, 20th East, also down at the Gateway. Stop by either location, whatever's more convenient. They're a little different. The Store, it's 6200 South, 20th East, has that great community feel. They also have the Cottonwood Ace right there next door connected to it for all your Traeger needs you might need, or Yeti coolers or all those kind of things. And then on the downtown one at the Gateway has a little bit more of an urban feel to it. It's kind of jammed in there, kind of love that, and has all the same things that you need. From the mudslide cookie to the locked up mudslide ice cream or to any of their great pre-prepared meals for you. Or stop by on the weekends for the great wood-fired pizza deals that are going on. They've also got a great text deal. I'll find out, get you the numbers so that you can enter in and get the text deal for them and get that going on. The Store, 600 South, 20th East, also located at the Gateway. Jake and Gordon were there live on Friday, and I had a wonderful time stopping by. So please stop by and support The Store. Today's show is also brought to you by RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com, shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything, your engine control modules, brake pads and tail lamps, motor oil, everything, even carpet that you need. And the great thing is that the catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, old school simple, and you can see all the parts for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. You do it all online at RockAuto.com rather than going to the store and being restricted to just the parts they need at just the prices they have. You're able to search and shop, whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer, all the prices are the same and they're there for you. So go check it out at rockauto.com, and when you see all the parts that are available for you for your car or truck and you're checking out, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section. That's Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Donovan was superhuman. Denver had the most out-of-body shooting game you can have. It's not replicable. Okay, that's not entirely true that it's not replicable. Let me see if I can be specific about how unlikely it is to be replicated. How's that? So, there were 2,122 games this season. They had the 46th best QSI. What the heck does QSI mean, Locke? QSI is the percentage that you shoot above your expected shot value. So, in other words, based on the shots that they took, they had an expected shot value, which was actually pretty high. They were the 16th best shooting performance of any team all year over their expected value out of 2,122 games. They went 20 of 33 on above the break threes, 61%. The league average is 35%. Of above the break three performances, on above the break three performances, yesterday, only two of the 15 that were better than what Denver had yesterday. Had 30 attempts or more above the break. So, arguably, the third best shooting performance of the year. On the above the break threes, they should have had an effective field goal percentage of 53%, and they had an effective field goal percentage of 90%. It was the 19th best above the break shooting performance by any team all year above the expected value of 2,122 games. 19th best out of 2,122 games. So in regards to things we're not going to see again, we're not seeing Donovan shoot 50, score 57, but we're not seeing the Nuggets do that again. There's no chance in hell or heck. No, in this case, there's no chance in hell. The one that we better get again is another good Joe Ingles. He was terrific. Good Joe Ingles is vital to everything we got going on. We're so limited without Conley and Boyan. Joe, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. He did a wonderful job in the pick and roll. The Jazz really did do a very, very good job on the pick and roll. And they did a very good job of getting who they wanted in the pick and roll defensively. The Jazz got Jeremy Grant pick and roll 37 times at a 1.2 points per attempt. When they got Torrey Craig in the pick and roll, they torched him because they got the switch on it every time. They only ran about 5 plays to my memory all game long, which Torrey Craig was defending the ball and Nikola Jokic was setting the pick. Otherwise, if a pick involved Torrey Craig, it involved a switch. It was really smart play. The Jazz have got to find a way to the other side, though, right? I mean, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic had 30 pick-and-roll combinations yesterday, and their average points per pick-and-roll was a 1.58. I mean, they were scoring almost 2 points per possession. Tip of the hat to Juwan Morgan. He was just great. Absolutely fabulous. And what a call by the coaching staff to know and trust and believe in him, to go to him in that circumstance. The key for Denver was Monte Morris, 29 minutes, 14 points, 4 assists. The thing that happened to Denver, and you know, again, got to give them credit. They held off a 57-point scoring performance by Donovan. And let's go back to what I said about Denver after the double overtime game. If you listened to us before the playoffs, they just win. But here's the thing about Denver. They're not a very good shooting team. I know, hard to believe, right? They're 27th in the league in three-point shoot attempts. They're like middle of the pack, and yet they went bananas 20 of 33. They're catch and shoot three-point shooting for the season. Grant's 39, he's good. But Jokic is 32. Barton and Harris are good, but they're not available. Murray's good at 39. Craig's 32. Porter's 42. When you don't have Porter, you got to have something else. That's where Morris clicks in at 40%. They're not generally a very good off-the-bounce three-point shooting team. Murray's 32%, Barton 34%, Harris 25%. They're not available. Porter's 46%, Jokic 27%. Millsap's 1 of 10. Craig's only taken 7 all year. Grant's only taken 6. Like, they don't take them. You can run at Grant and Craig and get them to put the ball in the deck. They're not shooting a 3 anymore. And Morris gives them that other answer because Morris gives them another shooter. And he's solid. He was great for them. Last year, he was 0 for 13 from 3 in the playoffs. Yesterday, he was 2 for 3. So impressive on his end to bounce back. And it's a big deal that the Jazz played Michael Porter off the floor because he's a very important offensive player to them. One more note for you on Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, who's guarding the pick and roll. Let me see if I can find this little note for you because it's pretty interesting and it tells you a little bit you're kind of guessing. So Rudy Gobert and Royce O'Neal defensively against pick and rolls are about as good as any combination in the league. Royce O'Neal off a handoff is in the bottom percentile of all defenders in the league. Whereas Joe Ingles off a handoff is one of the best. So to some extent, in the midst of this madness, what you're trying to find is really the Jazz are 28th in the league at defending handoffs, and teams hit them with the second most frequency. That's what teams do to the Jazz. We're not very good at defending handoffs, and yet they didn't run those handoffs. They ran the pure pick and roll. They only ran one handoff in the final 4 minutes. Royce O'Neal and Rudy are top five pick and roll defensive combination, but Royce O'Neal is in the 16th percentile guarding a handoff, 81st out of 100. And Joe Ingles is in the 93rd percentile, third best out of 100, guarding a handoff. So to some extent, you're guessing what they might bring at you. That is Locked On Jazz. Hope you enjoyed Locked On Nuggets. Adam Mattis, Matt Moore did a film review today. It's very good. So tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA.